Let's pray. Papa, thank you for what you've done already this morning. Thank you for touching hearts. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the things that have been shared. And Lord, as we continue into your word, I pray that you'll continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, give each and every one of us our own special message this morning, what we need to hear. And Holy Spirit, we know that you can do that. You can take what is being shared from the front here and you can make your own message for each and every one of us. And we delight in that. We thank you for it. Amen. Well, we've been speaking for quite a while now on the values of pursuit, and I've got two left to do. And it's been a while doing this series, but I know that it's been something that the Lord has really wanted us to speak into and to build strong in the church. See, we act out of who we believe we are. In fact, Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, we're not talking about the casual thoughts that just flow through our mind. Fortunately, some of those just need to keep going. What we're talking about is how we think in our heart, our core beliefs. And those core beliefs get expressed in our values. And our values determine how we live. So if we want to change how we live, and if we want to line up with the kingdom of God, then we have to change our beliefs, and we have to change our values. Because whether we are aware of it or not, we are encountering values right from the moment we are born. Your workplace has values. Your home has values. The relatives that you go and visit have values. And some of you feel that clash of value system when you go to different places. Maybe it's when you go to work. Maybe it is when you go to that relative and you just feel that, oh, there's just something where we just don't click. It's because they have a different value system. And I believe God wants us to be strong in our values, to know this is what I believe, and these are the values of heaven, and I will live my life on earth by the values of heaven. So what makes churches so different from one another? Many times it comes down to the values that they have. So as we're going through and looking at these values, what we're really doing is we are giving a snapshot of the structure of who we are as Pursuit. So first thing that we're going to do is we're going to bring up the list of values for Pursuit. One, valuing his presence, believing in his goodness, declaring his word, living under grace, guided by the Spirit, extending the kingdom, serving people, and releasing honour. They kind of come together in couplets. Now, if you're trying to remember them, that's awesome. We encourage people in Pursuit that if you're going to remember something about Pursuit, remember touching the heart of God, impacting the heart of man, releasing the kingdom of heaven. Okay, that's our purpose. But when it comes to the values, as you can see, they're kind of in groups of two. We start off with who God is, then how he ministers to us, then how we minister out and how we gather people in. So you've got valuing his presence and his goodness, then towards us is his word and his grace, and then we start to minister out by the power of the Spirit and we're extending his kingdom. And then we start to gather people in through serving them and showing them honour. Okay? So today we are going to be looking at number 7, serving people. Well, first question is, well, why is that important? Why is it one of our values? Well, it's one of our values because it is actually really important. And the first thing is that serving is love in action. When it came to writing down our values, and we worked through this for a long time with core leadership team and then our team leaders, we could have expressed this as loving people. But if we did, the thing would be that most of us would say, oh yeah, got that one. Because we think we know what love looks like. So we deliberately chose what love looks like in action. And that is serving one another. Going that extra mile, doing the extra things. And if you're wondering what the picture is, hopefully you can make it out. It's Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Serving is love in action. See, Jesus said that the greatest is love. He said that people would know that we are Christians because of our love for one another. In fact, James goes on to say, you know, what good is it if you say to somebody, oh yeah, be blessed, be warm, go home. Give me a break. But they have no food, they have no clothes, they have nothing to meet their need. James says, let's see your faith by what you do. And the Bible says that faith works by love. I love what Bill Johnson says. He says that serving is our strong suit. When you look around in the world, you don't find many who are prepared to serve. Why? Because to serve requires love. It requires sacrifice. It requires giving. So number one, serving is love in action. Number two, serving focuses on others rather than self. And boy, is this counterculture. We live in a culture of entitlement. Just take a look at the ads on TV. Things like, I'm worth it. They're all about me. All about things like, you know, even some of the ads. You have a guy and a girl eating a pizza together. Do they share? No. They grab what they can for themselves. And they present it as fun. No, it's not. It's just selfish. But it tells us where our culture is at. Me first is the motto of many people. But God says, you don't live in that kingdom. You live in my kingdom. And my kingdom is a kingdom of love. And to live in that kingdom means that we need to love God and to love others. And to do that, we have to have that heart of a servant. Philippians 2:3-7 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Wow, that's huge. When you think of your workplace and you think of that, that will be counterculture to a lot of workplaces. Selfish ambition. It's like, I'm going to beat you to the top, boy. That's the culture that we live in, but it's not the culture of the kingdom. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Ooh. I mean, we can read through this quickly and go, oh yeah, read it. But if we start to live it, that's picking up the culture of the kingdom. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. That's called serving. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. To be a servant doesn't mean that we just see ourselves as nothing. I love the fact where it talks about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It says of Jesus that he, knowing who he was and where he was going, washed the disciples' feet. It's not becoming a doormat, folks, but it's embracing a culture that says this kingdom runs on love, and love expresses itself. It gives. For God so loved that he gave. That's kingdom. A big one. Serving is key to our promotion and growth. Oh, there's so many people that want to do amazing things for God, but they don't want to serve. No, God, just bless me. Just give it all to me. See, we talk about the culture of entitlement in the world, but the sad thing is that that culture can start to come into the church. Oh, I can't do that. You want me to come early? Oh no, when the meeting's finished, I'm out of here. God wants us to grow, and he wants us to grow in our ability to love and our ability to serve. I'm getting some muffled. Matthew 20 from verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." And there's many in the body of Christ going, "Yes, that's me." "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." I don't think we'll find this verse on many fridges. "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." It's like it gets worse. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to give. He came to serve. He knew who he was. See, serving, as I said before, is not becoming a doormat. It's not saying, "Oh, well, I have no rights and I'm no good. Yeah, I just pick up after everybody." And no, that's not being a servant. That's just being a mess. God wants you to know who you are, that you are loved. And then out of that knowledge of who you are, to give love. We love because we are loved. And love expresses itself in serving. Love expresses itself in giving. Bill Johnson says, our strong suit is serving. The world's strong suit is being boss. The greatest impact that happens in your workplace is not by the person who has the title, but the person who has the heart. You are that person. you can have great influence in your workplace. Let's have a look at what serving instills in us, because I believe that God deliberately asks us to serve. And number one is because serving instills humility in us. It's hard to think you're the greatest when you're serving others. It's so important that we have that. See, pride disqualifies us so quickly. And when God says, I want you to serve, it's like, you do? Pride has to leave and humility has to come. And you have to choose. See, Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. And if somebody forces you to do something, that is abuse. If you choose to become a servant and to serve, that is love. There is a huge difference. So number one, it brings humility. Number two, it brings teachability. Oh, this one's so huge. See, to serve, we have to listen to the voice of another. And most of us don't want to. We are born that way. I know we've told this story before, but our Rebecca was the most compliant out of all our three kids. But I still remember telling Rebecca, we were living in Hawaii at the time, she was about two, and I told her to do something. And she's standing there in her little diapers with her clenched fists, and she looks up at me and she says, I wanna my do. I wanna my do. And that's in the heart of all of us. I wanna do it my way. And I only wanna do it if I wanna do it. Bless God. And God says, I want you to serve. And you go, you want me to do what? Yes, I want you to go serve that person. You want me to serve them? Yes. See, to serve somebody, you have to listen to that somebody. And that's huge, because most of us don't want to listen. The Great Commission, folks, is not about getting people saved. The Great Commission is about making disciples. Disciples are ones who are trained, who are disciplined. God just doesn't want a whole lot of babies and, you know, your joke on TV seeing baby blump in the UK. But the tragedy is that there's so many in the body of Christ wandering around in their little diapers and their clenched fists saying, I want a my do. And God's saying, I want you to grow up. And to grow up, you're going to have to listen to another. A brave person at the back saying, that's right. Unfortunately, it is. Let's look at Matthew 8. This is a great story. Matthew 8 from verse 8. The centurion who came to Jesus answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This was a Roman centurion who had great faith. Why? Verse 7 tells us why. He looked at Jesus and he says, I too am a man under authority. I know you have authority because you are under authority. And because I understand authority, the moment you say it's done, it's done. Like David was saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Being a servant helps us understand the power of words and the power of a command. Because a servant will listen to a word of command and will do. And when you pick up that aspect of the heart of God, will you live with that attitude of a servant? You say it, I will do it. It actually produces incredible faith in your heart, which is what the testimony this morning was about. And that's one of the reasons God asks us to serve, because he wants us to recognize that what is said is done. And when we start to live that lifestyle, when we hear God say it, we know it's done. See, God's not asking you to serve because he just wants you to do all the dirty stuff. No, God's asking you to serve because he wants men and women of faith who know what it is to stand in his presence and say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You'll get to that place through being a servant. You'll get to that place by listening to God and listening to others. See, let me let you in on a little secret. There's an acronym that pastors and leaders use for when they look at people and they are deciding how much to actually pour into that person and to start to develop them. That acronym is ACTS. The A is attendance and availability. Is that person available? Does that person show up? Will they come when the weather's not pleasant? Exactly. It's called preaching to the choir. You can't work with those who don't show up. You can't train those who don't come. Ask pastors and leaders, they'll tell you that. That's A. C is character. You can train people, but people in their relationship with God have to develop character. The T is for teachability. And the S is for servanthood. Four areas that are looked at. See, I've had God tell me to start working with people who are in this church, and they're not here this morning. That's all right. But he said to me, I want you to start working with that person. So I have deliberately gone and told that person something that I think needs to be adjusted or changed or something that I want them to do. And I've listened for a response. Sadly, there have been cases where I've gone back to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't work with that person. They're gifted. Oh, they are so gifted. And God says, yeah, I know. A gift is given. You want to develop the gift on your life, you need to be a servant. Because it's in that position of being a servant that you will grow. And it's when you become that servant of all, that God is able to promote you into a position of leadership. So let me take you 1 Kings chapter 12. I'll give you a bit of background. Who's heard of King Rehoboam? One, two, three. Who's heard of King David? Yes, practically all the hands are going up. Who's heard of King Solomon? Yes! King Rehoboam was Solomon's son. And he should have been known as his father Solomon and his grandfather David was known. But he was not. David fought and extended the kingdom of Israel. And when he handed the kingdom over to his son Solomon, it became a reign of peace because there had been war. Solomon, in peace, he brought forth tremendous wisdom and established this kingdom like none other on earth. When Solomon died, this amazing kingdom was handed to a young man. And one of the first things that happened in the reign of this young man was some people came to him and said, you know, when Solomon, your father, was king, we were building the temple. And yes, that was great, but it was hard work. Solomon asked a lot of us. What are you going to be like in your reign? Let's find out. Verse 6. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the counsel which the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. These young men said, go back and tell them, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's my paraphrase. But notice what the elders said to him in verse 7. You've just become king. But if you will serve the people. Friends, position and leadership is about servanthood, not authority. Not calling the shots, not abusing people. Those who do end up like King Rehoboam. Israel rebelled against him. The kingdom became divided. And people said, I'm out of here. And it happens time and time and time again because people think that leadership is all about authority rather than servanthood. We have to learn to have the heart of a servant so that we can rule well. The Queen of Sheba said to Solomon, God made you ruler over all of Israel because he loves Israel. Leadership is all about the fact that God loves people. So he wants to put people into leadership who will love well. Can you love well? Can you serve others? Can you give your life for others that they might be blessed? If you can, then God can make you a leader. Final aspect of why God wants us to learn to be a servant is because serving instills faithfulness in us. You know, if we have a choice not to do something, there are times when you don't feel like doing it, so you don't. A servant doesn't ask if they feel like doing it. They just do it. When you have the heart of a servant, faithfulness becomes something that characterizes your life. You do it just because you do it. You don't ask whether you want to do it. You just do it because it's the right thing to do. And we don't always feel like doing the right thing. And when we don't feel like doing the right thing, that's when the attitude of a servant and faithfulness has to kick in. And we have to say, I will. Doesn't matter how I feel, I will. God wants us to have that strength in our life because he knows there are times when we will feel like we don't want to. I can't be bothered. Too hard. What's the harm? Let's not plan to change the world and find we can't get out of bed. Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Having more just makes you more of what you are. It's why God wants to work on us. That's why he wants to develop our character. That's why he wants us to serve. Because when you serve, some of the things of, I don't want to, come to the surface. And you have to say, Lord, I don't want to. And he says, that's okay, just do it anyway. Right. And that's when you start to develop that faithfulness. That's when you start to develop that strength. Let's carry on with the next couple of verses. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Oh, I don't feel to do that. That's not my ministry. Good. Serve and you'll get your own ministry. Yeah, I wasn't expecting an amen on that one. Two areas that Jesus mentions here. One is the mammon or the riches of this earth. Your time, your energy, your money. Those are things that you have to serve with so that you get the true riches. The second area to serve in is the area of serving another man, another person. And again, in our culture, we don't like that. We don't want to serve somebody else. That means that they tell us what to do, and we don't want that. Jesus said, you won't enter in to your own ministry, your own gifting. The only way that you'll ever fulfill the call and destiny that is on your life is through servanthood. A couple of brave people nodding and saying amen. God has so much that he wants us to have and to walk in. But if we want to go high, we have to go low. A couple of chapters later, we have a parable that Jesus tells. It's a parable of the miners, and it's in Luke 19. I haven't put it on the screen because it's quite long, but it starts by saying that Jesus, knowing the disciples were expecting the kingdom to happen immediately, he tells them this parable of the miners. And it's where the nobleman calls his servants together and he gives each of them one miner. And he says, do business with us. What does that mean? That means serve and be faithful. And when you look at the end, when he comes and he has all these servants come before him, what is given is a commendation that you will hear people say time and time again that they're looking forward to hearing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oops. What about, welcome, son. So good to see you. Help yourself to the fridge. See, we get into heaven through becoming a child and receiving by faith everything that Jesus has done. But the rewards in heaven that last for eternity are determined by what we do, and what we do is serve. If you want rewards in heaven, and God wants you to have them, because he is a rewarder, you're going to have to live the life of a servant.